Well, good morning, almost afternoon. Greetings from Ohio, OH. Thank you. Sometimes I get none of that where I go, California, North Carolina, but there sometimes is someone who has been or was raised a Buckeye. So OHIO, that's our little Ohio State, the Ohio State University. I'm born and raised in Southwest Ohio on the district there. I love the church. The church saved my life, God and the church. Rescued me and my family when I was just a little girl, and that's a story for another time. But I'm passionate about the church and discipleship and the family in discipleship because that has been part of my journey. I want to introduce you to my family today and just to review what our workshop is about today. If you're wondering, am I in the right place? You are. This workshop is titled The Blessing of Discipling Children, because we believe that the whole church carries the blessing of discipling children, and that we can stand out for good when we can teach our children to stand out for good through our home, our school, and in our community of faith. There's no denying the world is different than some of us grew up in. But we are a people of hope. We are prisoners of hope, according to the scripture. And so we need each other as our children face a culture desperately trying to influence them down an unhealthy path regarding their faith and identity. We are teaching children Christian values that encourage and equip them to stand up and stand out as uniquely different and divinely called in today's world. And you might be wondering, how am I doing? How are we doing as a church? How is my children's ministry doing in equipping these children to stand up and stand out as uniquely different? I hope that after today, you have some new ideas, some fresh vision, some fresh passion to keep on moving the mission of God forward through your family and your church. We can do this together. It is a partnership. It's a co-mission that you have in your home, in your small groups, in your children's ministry, in your NYI ministry. The Church of the Nazarene is a church that believes in ministering to all generations globally. And that is something that we can be grateful for. I am a product of that, as I have shared. I am a product of people who invested in my life from the cradle nursery to college graduation and being a young married couple. And still today, there are mentors and women in my life who haven't stopped discipling, making disciples who make disciples. This partnership with the church is something that you choose to do as leaders. And it's also something that we are privileged and honored to do through the calling of God. And so here's my family. I call it life in the V6. We're the Vogelmans. There's six of us. And as I began to raise our children and we worked together as a family to participate in all the things that God was calling us to participate in, it kind of felt like an engine that had power from the Most High. The V6 was running, and I had many days where I knew it was only through the power of the Most High God that we were able to accomplish whatever God was calling us to accomplish. We chose a theme for this year for our family. See, when my children were young, I began feeling like my husband and I would have conversations often. This is not the church's responsibility to raise my children. It's not the youth pastor or the Sunday school teacher's job. And I can't just take my children to church and hope and expect that they'll learn the story of God and live God's story out in the world around them because I've taken them to church. It is my and my husband's and our home, our primary responsibility that we are the first informers of their faith. And then the church accents that. The volunteers, the pastors, the families that we interact with in our faith community accent this. I have two in college. Here's our family. We have Abby's our youngest. She's seventh grader. And then there's Andy next to me. He just grew about 8 inches in the last year. All of a sudden, I'm hugging him goodbye in the morning. That's the rule. You can't leave without hugging mom goodbye. So he sleepily comes and bends down and hugs me now. And then there I am. There's my husband. He could not be with us. We've done this workshop before. He cannot be with us because he is the superintendent of our school district, Lakota Local Schools, 17,000 students times parents. Whew, that's a big responsibility. And two high schools, and the graduation for one of the high schools was last night, and he spoke about to this group of about 650 graduates times their parents at the Xavier Cintas Center. He spoke about your compass in a public high school. Who will be your compass? What will be your guide when you graduate high school? You've allowed your parents to kind of be a compass. Maybe you've allowed your religion to be your compass, your teachers, your sports, your activities, but now you're graduating and now you're leaving and you must choose on your own now what will be your compass. And so that's Rob. Next to him is my daughter Claire. She is a student at Mount Vernon Nazarene University studying to be a speech pathologist. Amazing field. If you're interested in that, let us connect you. Mount Vernon has that as an undergrad, which is unheard of for a liberal arts school, a Nazarene school, to have such a unique career path. And next to her is my son, Robbie. He is a sophomore, just finished his sophomore year at Mount Vernon Nazarene University. Well, as my family has been scattered these last few years, I've been feeling the need as a mom to just kind of gather and pull in. You know, they are taking flight, I'm trying to gather more and pull in, and I began to dream about this family retreat. You go on retreats as couples, maybe in your Sunday school classes or groups. You go on retreats for men, you go on retreats for women, you go on retreats for NYI. Have you retreated with your family? What might that look like? So we did, and we focused on Psalm 23, and specifically, we all came away focusing on this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. In a world that is always trying to tell us as leaders in the church, as parents, as grandparents, aunts and uncles, and our teenagers, all the things they lack and all that they need, and you need this, and you probably need this, and you better run to Aldi's because these are going to be out of stock because you need this for your kitchen, and you need this to be who God's called you to be, that we need to be reminded as we disciple our children, we need to keep telling them that the Lord is their shepherd. They lack nothing. How do we do that? Well, you're seeing a picture of my family. You're hearing about, oh, they retreat. Well, let me also remind you that we are a family. So just for the sake of reality, my family and yours, here's a few pictures around my house. We're real. It's real life. The first one, these little flower pots, my 16-year-old, well, Andy's now 17, just had a birthday. I don't know why he decided that the flower pot was a good place to hold his yogurt cup with a spoon in it. I don't know what's going on in their brain at this point. My friend often shares, she's a school psychologist. frontal lobe. Boys, till about 25 years old, that frontal cortex is still open. It's wild in there. It's not closed yet. And then, of course, the bathroom sink. Why we need to eat food in the bathroom sink, like while we're brushing our teeth, I don't get that either. But, and then I guess that toilet was a good place to leave your not completely drink cup of milk. And then my daughter, seventh grade, she has a pretty full life with church activities and family activities and soccer. Well, she had a day, she came home at 2:30 from junior high, and she was, well, I don't have anything going on today. I'm gonna be bored. Don't ever tell this mom that you're bored, because there is plenty in life to do. So I had this idea. Actually, she texted me from school, I'm gonna be bored. So when she came in the door, I had a plan. It was called I'm Not Bored Monday. I gave her a list of things to do to make sure she was not bored. I'm not bored. I'm helpful. I'm loving. I care. And I serve by emptying the dishwasher, maybe cleaning the bathroom sink. And guess what happened when she came home on Tuesday? There was I'm Not Bored Tuesday list. I'm helpful. I'm loving, I serve. You see, within our homes, within the imperfection of our family and family life, there is so much to learn and so much to value. You saw the good picture, just to let you know, like we're real people. Here's the before pictures of trying to get the family picture taken. It happens. It's messy. The brothers are now competing for height. There's competition in your family. Did you know that? There's sibling rivalry. There's a little esteem going on. The brothers pushing, no, I'm taller. No, I'm taller. And all the mess going on. And would just somebody hurry? This is Mother's Day here on the that side. I mean, like, I'm ready. Just give me one picture for Mother's Day. That's all I'm asking. It's a little crazy sometimes. That's life. Well, I want to hear about your family. You have Play-Doh on your table. There's not a ton. And if you see any Play-Doh at tables that hasn't been taken, like I see four or five over here where people aren't sitting, I want you to grab that. And if you have Play-Doh, not enough for everyone, just break it in half. This is what I want you to do. We did this on our family retreat, and these are actually pictures from our family retreat. You see, play is really important still in the life of the children that you're discipling. I have a 20-year-old son who's still very playful. You can still play. I have a 50-something-year-old husband who still is very playful. So I want you to take this Play-Doh, and I want you to shape something that represents kind of the state of the children you're discipling right now. The relationship, maybe, the environment, the feelings, the emotions, what's happening right now. How would you describe it if I were to ask you verbally, how would you describe the relationship between you and the people, the children of all ages, because I'm still being discipled by my 85-year-old father-in-law, still his child. That relationship is still very much important. These multi-generational relationships are still very much important. And so shape that into something. Maybe, for example, you see the pink question. There are some questions that they're asking that you don't feel like you always have the answers for. Maybe you have some questions about where they are on their journey of grace or journey of faith. And you keep wondering about their relationship with the Lord. What would be a symbol to represent right now where your family or where the children, the people you're discipling, and the generations around you are? Take a minute. or less. I've got a lot of activities, so I maybe not give you all the time you would like. Don't overthink it. I always tell people that. Go with what the first thought is. Don't overthink it. Your relationship with your children, your family, people that you have in your life that you're discipling, maybe a group that you're leading, and make a shape out of that. Is it a happy? Make a smiley face. Is it frustrating?
I had a boyfriend that was angry.
What's that? I couldn't hear you, sweetie.
Oh, I had a boyfriend that was angry a lot.
Okay.
With me.
Okay. Wow. Maybe you want to put that into shape. What you'd like that.
I think it's okay. Just be with him. And he won't. I haven't seen him for about 18 days.
Okay.
He never calls. Well, I don't know what to do.
Okay, I would like you to take a few seconds here, and I don't like cutting people off, but we do have a lot to cover. So this is just kind of like to start these conversations and thoughts that you might be able to continue later if you don't get to complete your thought or conversation. But I want you to take a few minutes at your table and share what you made and why. Just a sentence or two about what your shape is and why you made that particular shape. Okay? So share at your table. Is that's interesting.
That's a snake.
I know. I don't like snakes, but
my little puppy drugged one out of our ditch yesterday in my wife's home. She said, I had to get the snake away from the
My son was disc golfing in Ohio, and he sent us a video of a big snake on the disc golf course. No. So what does that represent to you about
that I'm away and she's like, where are you to take my snake away?
All right, I like the chatter in the room. I enjoy the good discussion. Let's just take about 20 more seconds, wrap up your thoughts. All right, is there someone at your table that you thought, wow, that was a really helpful image they made with their Play-Doh, and I think that's really helpful to realize about where maybe other people are in this discipleship process? Maybe it's a praise that things aren't as bad as we think they are. Or maybe it's a realization that we have more work to do than we think we do. Would you be willing to share someone else's? You don't have to say their name, but would you be willing to share what someone else shared at your table? Got two volunteers. Yes. Yes, you.
So someone at our table did a sauerkraut.
I'm realizing.
That's okay.
We need your mic.
Okay. Thank you. Someone at our table created a Sour Patch Kid because their kids have trouble, are still learning how to regulate their emotions. So one moment they're hot, and just one moment they're cold. And they're sour and they're sweet.
Yes. Yes. Can I just ask this question? Are there any adults in the room that say, maybe some days I'm a Sour Patch Kid? Yeah. You see, we are not as different from our children as we think. They're just little adults trying to navigate the world. Who else? You can share someone at your table because maybe they're not comfortable.
This is someone I know who has anger issues and won't ask forgiveness when he gets angry at someone.
Okay, so there are all kinds of emotions that are being felt. Anger, sadness, you know, those negative emotions where no one's asking for help. They kind of feel we Americans are really good at individualizing everything. This is my problem. I have to figure this out. These are my emotions. It's me and God, if there is that relationship. What I see with my friends when I travel to Haiti or Guatemala or the women that I get to fellowship here in the States from other countries, it's always a family issue. If it's one person's, it's us together. And so I think one thing we have to learn as people here in the States and Westerners, that God has spoken to us that together we are God's temple. So we really do need each other. I need my mentor, who is 25 years older than me, to hear my emotions. I need to sit at the table with her to know her life experiences, and I need her to be vulnerable with me and hear her life experience, how she has navigated these waters that I'm just stepping into today. Yes, there are emotions of all kinds represented in our families, but again, we're not people who are without hope. And so how do we teach our children? How do we teach the people we're discipling? See, when I say, I just had a big birthday this year. I'm still a child. When I say children, I'm still thinking of me as a child who still very much needs my parents and the people who have gone before me to help raise me up continually on this journey of grace. So how are we being vulnerable enough with them so that they know it's okay to talk about our emotions? It's okay to admit when we are angry or sad or are questioning things that we don't understand. The open hand on the Play-Doh was my daughter, who is a junior this year, and this was at Thanksgiving weekend. We went away for the family retreat, and my husband and I each led devotions, and they took time, and I had journals for them each, just these 99.50 cent journals I got off Amazon, and they each exchanged them at different times. They would go off and write one another a letter in the journal, and then they would read that to one another. There were questions that they followed that said, this is what I appreciate about you. This is what I appreciate about our relationship. This is a memory, a great memory that I have with you. Building those bonds and being intentional. This is an area I need you to forgive me. And one of my sons off to college said to his younger sister, I need you to forgive me for getting so busy with my new college life that sometimes I forgot to give you the attention that you needed. She adores her brother. And so having those times when we create opportunity to share what's going on in our life, but to be vulnerable with one another. And so my daughter's hand, that was, she's got a lot of decisions that she's making. Her creating that hand and saying, this represents, my hands are open to God about this future, about this dating relationship, about where I have to go to grad school, about where I might live if it's not close to my parents, how I'll deal with how God might be calling me. And just by taking Play-Doh and creating this little image, conversations began to open. So I give you that exercise to remind you to stay playful, to do activities together as a family and in your discipleship, instead of just the sit and get and you listen to me kind of thing. The Church of the Nazarene has adopted this new emphasis called a journey of grace. I love this language. I believe that your district probably has done a really good job of presenting you with this a journey of grace, this prevenient grace that we know of, this grace that goes before us. It's called this wooing grace. We Wesleyans believe that God's grace is active in our lives before we're even aware that God is pursuing us. Are you praying for someone, you're discipling someone in your family to know Jesus? Raise your hand if you are. I want to remind you today and encourage you today that you can be sure that God's prevenient grace is wooing them and drawing them constantly at work to draw them to God Himself. It's not just you, and it's not just your church. And it's not just the prayers. God Himself in His grace. That's the first part of that journey of grace. And then we have the saving grace where we accept that invitation and we begin to live our lives as those saved from eternal death. And then the sanctifying grace part of our journey, where He claims us and we surrender fully like this open hand maybe, and we live our life for Him. But that was a couple years ago, they launched that, and this year the emphasis in that general convention for the Church of the Nazarene, they're going to be focusing on these five cores, the core principles that are essential to the discipleship process. And with the time remaining for our workshop today, what I hope to do is just to give you some practical and creative ways to disciple your families, because I know you're dealing with some fear. I do too. I lead 7th, 8th, and 9th grade girls every Sunday morning. I adore these young women. They're so vibrant right now and so open to the Lord. But I know what 8th, 9th, 10th grade, 11th grade. So we don't want to be paralyzed by fear. We have to be people of hope so that our children are also people of hope. And so how might we do this? So let's just talk for just a minute. The NDI promotes the following five core discipleships that are essential, they believe, to the discipleship process. And number one is fervent prayer. Are you praying fervently? Are you asking? Are you inviting other people into this prayer with you? Are you praying with your children, teaching your children to pray? When my oldest was in third grade, I decided it's enough. We've got to do something really, really intentional here about discipleship. And so I began every morning before school. Our schedules allowed it. We had a quick devotion before school. And every day, we would read the scripture together at the breakfast table. I'm talking less than 5 minutes, people. They're already sitting there eating their breakfast. Sit down with them if you can. We read the devotion, and I would say, how can I pray for you today? Now my one who is going to be a junior in college, every day of his life, not kidding, from second grade till 12th grade, every day his prayer request was, be a fast day at school. A fast day. His last day, senior year. I said, Robbie, how could I pray for you? Knowing when it'd be a fast day. But we laugh about that now, but he knows his mama prays for him. And I get text messages from them in school and college and in their relationships. And, oh, mom and dad, could you pray about this? Why? Because we started that pattern back then. Even though the prayer request may not have seemed significant, we started that pattern of praying together. Fervent prayer. Teach them fervent prayer. Share with them what your requests are. I have countless stories of when I was praying for something and was able to share with them what I was praying for and then share with them the answer and how that began to transform our relationship, that we shared and cared with one another and prayed and cared for one another's needs, no matter what age they are. My husband and I have led couple Sunday school classes for years. We've tried to lead family, parents, and how to disciple their children. We charge them one Sunday with, here's the devotion. When you come back next Sunday, do that devotion with your family. Anytime this week. We're going to have a breakfast next Sunday, and we'll talk about it. We had one woman, they were about 20 minutes late, and they came into Sunday school, and she came in carrying her casserole. And she, I'm sorry, but we weren't leaving until we got that devotion done. You gave us all week, and we hadn't done it this morning. And I wasn't coming back to church this morning without doing that devotion. And I knew she was mad at her husband because he hadn't done that this week. But she wasn't leaving. So casserole, 20 minutes late to the breakfast, they got it done. She led it. Girls, don't wait for your family to be led into God's word in prayer. Don't wait for the youth pastor to do it for you. Don't wait for your church to hire a children's pastor to do it for you. Don't wait for your husband to have time, see the need, or get tired of you nagging. Do it. You're called into this partnership of leading your household with your spouse. On your table, there are prayer cards. I love this resource, and our children's pastor gave these out a few years ago, and she has started doing it every year since, and I asked her, could I please have any leftovers? I love these prayer cards. First of all, I love because they're pretty. But this is from a great resource for families called ParentQ.org, and these are prayer cards. Take one with you. There's all different words, but they'll have a word, like this one's wisdom. On the back, it'll have a scripture for wisdom, and it'll have a prayer you can pray. If you don't know what to pray, take these cues. I have a pretty good stack here of these parent prayer card sets. I believe there's 8. You could do one a month. For the whole year, you could do them in your small group, your discipleship. That could be your focus for that month of prayer. I will give these away afterwards to whoever comes sees me till I don't have any left. How about that? Those are fun. You can order those. So fervent prayer, I want to encourage you. Number 2, compassionate outreach. Let your children be a part of the ways you reach out. We just took a mission trip to Guatemala. I did a women's conference, Thrive, in Guatemala. My daughter and my son and my husband, we all got to participate in that together. It was beautiful. It was a dream I had waited 10 years to happen, where I could be on mission internationally with my family and not just me. But this doesn't have to be getting on an airplane. In fact, it shouldn't always be. We had years where we didn't get our Christmas cookies to our neighbors done on time because December's busy. So I sent out Valentine cards instead of Christmas cards and reminded them of the love of Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave 2 months after Christmas, but it was Valentine's celebration. That year also, or another year after, we made Valentine cookies. I loaded them up in the wagon and we went door to door, and on the little cookie bag for our neighbors, I just attached that, John 3:16. It's a verse most people are familiar with or they've seen. And we knocked on the door and the kids ran up and said Happy Valentine's Day and gave them cookies. That opened up doors of opportunities. You see, God had called me to start a Bible study in my home for my neighbors. I was a little intimidated in that. We were all kind of new. It was a new development neighborhood, and I wanted to, but I didn't have the courage to. Ever been there? I hear God speaking. I'm not sure I have the resources that can do it, but I want to. Long story short, my friend had started this in her community, and she told me one day that her neighbor, she had to write her neighbor a letter about the salvation story. And she told her neighbor, she said, Amy, if this makes our relationship awkward because I'm sharing this truth with you, it is worth the risk of an awkward relationship. I didn't want to be the Jesus freak on the street. I didn't want to be the mom at the pool that I thought in my mind people would avoid because I had invited them to Bible study at my house and they didn't want to come. Or the backyard barbecue that we had often just to fellowship with our neighbors. But I had a few moms that were on board with me, and we prayed, and I invited 12 ladies, and 12 women showed up. They all said yes to Bible study in my home. What I didn't know at the time was how this bit of compassionate outreach was reaching my children. You see, my daughter's 21 years old, but still, when we have questions like, what's your favorite smell, or what's a smell that reminds you of something, she'll say, the smell of brownies baking. Why? Because mom baked brownies on Thursdays when the women came for Bible study from the neighborhood. And so she knew when she came in the door from school, she was going to get a brownie. She opened the door, she'd smell the brownie smell, and she knew the women were there for Bible study. Compassionate outreach doesn't have to be over the seas, although I love that. It is important. You need to do it at least once in your life, I believe. Then comprehensive biblical learning. Comprehensive biblical learning can happen at your dinner table. It can happen around your family room. It is a partnership between you and the church. How you do that is up to you, but do it. You heard about quizzing. The Church of the Nazarene is a wonderful, wonderful denomination because it cares deeply about all generations. And one of the reasons I determined when I grew up and had a family that I would stay a part of the Church of the Nazarene was because of the NYI. Because of the camps, the NYCs, the universities, Blast, Elevate, I think you called it Max. I don't know, cool thing. But all of the discipleship things that Patrick is leading, support him and those leaders in any way you can because it's working. I'm fruit of that. Many of you are fruit of that. Number four, intentional mentoring and equipping. Intentional. I've asked my children sometimes recently as they've grown up, what do you think we did well? And what do you think we could have done better? Don't be afraid of criticism. It helps you improve. The thing that my daughters often said that we did well is that we were intentional. I didn't realize I was being intentional. I was just doing what the Lord told me to do. But as she's gone off to college and she's heard from other families and other friends, she realizes what she had that they didn't, and she realizes the lack of intentionality that oftentimes my generation and parents raising, we just thought, and maybe it was, that if we just got our kids to church, they'll be okay. But you can't expect your child to live a life that you aren't living. And if you want your child not to lie, then don't lie. And if you want your child to grow up with a prayer life, then let them see you and hear you praying. If you want your child to have some kind of comprehensive biblical learning, then you seek comprehensive biblical learning that you can share with them. Dinner table, down the road in the car, with them at church, sitting with them, participating. Number five, authentic relationships. The Barna Study wrote a book called The Black, You Lost Me. The Barna Study. You Lost Me is the book. And they call the period between 19 and 29 the black hole. You going, yeah. How many people at your church are between 19 and 29? They call it the black hole. You lost me. And one of the three top reasons after interviewing thousands of people, young adults, teenagers, why they left the church, when they came down to it, the top three core things that kept them in the church, one was relationships. Now, I've been away from my home church for over 25 years. The church that saved my life, took me in, and loved me. But when I walk in the doors of that church today, there are still deep, meaningful relationships from the people that invested in me. The women who grabbed my hand and said, I'm praying for you. The woman who, when I was heading off to school back again sophomore year, grabbed my hand and slipped me a $20 bill. The people who helped pay for my mission trips in college. The people who sat with me at my brother's funeral, my only sibling. 20 years after I had grown up and gone off to a new place. Authentic relationships are so, so important. On your table, you have a card. Now, you think, I really want to develop authentic relationships with my children or the people in my church. How do I do that? My seventh grader just gave a speech at her awards night at her school, and it was about questions. Her teacher had tallies on the board for the last few months. Every time Abby, my daughter, asked a question, apparently she asked lots of questions, there were 47 tally marks. My others are very quiet, so they're very like, what? This is a Vogelman kid? This is not like the Vogelmans. Abby is different. They're all different. That way we can't take credit or blame. So asking questions is one really good way. And so I have a box called Talking Points. I have 101 conversations for families. I have conversation questions for couples, conversation starters. But I want you to take a minute. And I just feel so sad that you're by yourself. So you can move over here to these friends. We're all friends. You can move tables. You have a question on your table, and we use these at the dinner table. And sometimes I let my kids choose the question, and sometimes it's random. Sometimes we choose it. But it leads to conversations that don't have to be all spiritual. To disciple. Discipleship is about relationship. And if you're here today, I can guarantee as they build a relationship with you, they're going to get spiritual out of it. Because that's the kind of person you are. It will ooze out of you naturally. It doesn't have to be about the four spiritual laws. Discipleship doesn't have to be, we're going to work through the book of John together. Discipleship is relationship. If they don't have the relationship, they're not going to stay a part of this journey of grace. They won't see the need. So look at your question. I'm going to give you maybe a minute, and I want you to read that question and answer it together at your table. So I hope that was, am I on? Ashlyn, I'm not sure I'm still on. Ashlyn, I don't think I'm on. Am I on? Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you to bring that to a halt and maybe continue this conversation later, but you get the point. Conversation starters. You learn all kinds of interesting things about the people that you live in your house with or that you sit by every Sunday that you didn't know just by interesting questions. Ask lots of questions. Stay in their business. Don't back off. Don't be authoritative. Be relational. Be loving. Be gracious. But stay interested. That teenager that you haven't seen in a while that walks into the doors of your church, don't wait for the youth pastor or their Sunday school teacher or the pastor and his wife to greet them. You go and make sure they know they are welcome here. They are loved. They need to know they're welcome, they're loved, and that someone cares about having an authentic relationship with them. There are ways, I believe, as a family and as discipleship communities of children, that we can experience these core principles. There are four ways I have here. Celebrate. I think that's intentional mentoring. Celebrate things. Celebrate their graduations. Celebrate their sporting events. Celebrate their birthday. Make it a big deal. These occasional events in their life are important. They're types of liturgies. They're stakes in the ground. They're those altars that are built in their lives like we see in the scripture. Celebrate. Be a people of celebration. And that means you're intentionally mentoring them to be celebratory in their life and in the lives of their friends around them. It's not all about us. We celebrate each other. Sabbath, fervent prayer and biblical learning happen in places of Sabbath, on retreats, in your own home, living room. I find that bedtime for the children that I've raised is a very crucial time. And sometimes they admit they just did it to not have to go to bed. You know, Mom, can I talk to you about something just at bedtime? But I do believe there's something that happens when their bodies begin to rest and their minds begin to rest and thoughts come back to them throughout the day that they've experienced. And it's time to talk about it. So Sabbath moments, not just on Sunday morning, Sabbath moments throughout their life, throughout their day, taking a walk, asking them questions, being present with them as they think about God, talk about God, worship God. Do that together. Play. Authentic relationships play. My husband, my husband's father grew up in the Bronx. He was drafted by the Brooklyn Dodgers back in the day to be a pitcher. And his parents said, nope, boy, you're going in the service because your grades are terrible. And if you get hurt, you're not going to make anything in your life. So, long story short, he ended up going in the Navy and being inducted in the Dayton, Ohio Softball Hall of Fame as a young boy. But that's how he found Jesus. There's a book called Just Walk Across the Room. Well, we call it Walk Across the Field because a man who loved Jesus in the Church of the Nazarene walked across the softball field to my father-in-law and told him, I want you on my team, but you got to come to church. There's a rule. On the team, signed the contract on the hood of his car, and Norm Sharp changed the trajectory of my family's legacy because he began to disciple Bob from the Bronx, and Norm's mom said, don't you let that boy in your house. What would have happened? You see, play, softball, all kinds of, get in your backyard, get your feet dirty, get your hands dirty, mulch together, hike together, play together, board games, all of these things are still, that's where authentic relationship is built. It's not always built by whipping them into submission to get out of bed on Sunday morning and get to church. And then show up and smile like, everything's fine. I'm fine, you're fine, we're fine. Praise God. Serve, I already talked about serving together. I want to tell you, let's go here to, for the sake of time, Sabbath. Ways that you can Sabbath, of course, church attendance. Don't expect your child to attend church faithfully if you put other things in front of faithful church attendance. That is a rhythm and a ritual. Rituals are not wrong. Don't be afraid of them. Incorporate rituals. You brush your teeth every day, I hope. And you probably brush them in the same direction. In fact, studies show, dentists will say, I can tell you brush your teeth the same way every day because you're missing the same spots every day, and that's where the cavities are. We're people of ritual. That's a ritual. That's what our family does. This is what we do. Vacation annually. Tight budgets. Tight budgets. I know it, but you can still do it. Staycations. Weekly rest. Teach your kids to Sabbath. Breakfast and lunch together. Make a big deal out of these things. This is a picture of our family retreat. I brought a box of old toys for them to talk about and celebrate. We hiked together. This is Hocking Hills, Ohio. A little plug again for the old OHIO. It's a beautiful place. God's nature speaks to us, and we learned about the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, yea, though I walk. He comforts us. He's with us. And we got to talk about it in this setting. It was not my church's responsibility to do that day. God put that call on my heart. Again, I said celebrate. We celebrate with banners if it's your birthday. I don't buy a card. Who wants to spend $6 on a card today? That's a crime. We make our own cards, but every time you get a banner and everybody signs your banner. And they just write a nice note, and that's up for the week of your birthday, so you can see those nice words about you. I graduated from Northwest Nazarene University May 6th, just a few weeks ago. Yay! And crazy 24 years after I graduated as an elementary teacher, God called me to go back to school. Another story for another day, but my son Andy was also going to prom that day, and it was breaking this mama's heart to not be in these places. And God, why on these celebration days and these kind of points in life couldn't I be with Andy? So we found a way. We compromised, FaceTimed in, and that's a picture of me FaceTiming in with Andy. Play together. This is my father-in-law just on Mother's Day pushing my kids in a swing. They're in college and high school, all right, and they're still swinging. And this is an egg hunt. Don't have time for that little video clip, but my in-laws create an egg hunt for their adult grandchildren. Play, laugh. All right, I love this quote. As we're thinking about these core principles, there's no task too small or too routine to reflect God's glory and worth. Today, as you are thinking about, I want you to see the picture of Andy, my 17-year-old, serving. This is Target Dayton Ministries in Ohio, a beautiful ministry to homeless people. As you're thinking about ways to serve, we also have partnerships in the schools called Lakota Moms in Prayer. My husband is a Christian. As a school superintendent, they know him. They know what he's about. He's fighting against major things in culture. The Lakota Moms in Prayer pray, and the community is knowing about the way that Lakota Moms in Prayer continue to come together. Moms in Prayer International is online. You can print their resources, ways that you can partner. If you want to talk more about that, I can. I'd love to send you some things. I'm going to take you down to this video. This is how we're going to end our talk today, which is, I think this video really represents our desire as discipleship leaders, parents, grandparents, leaders in our churches, what we long for our children to be: peacemakers. Because Jesus in his sermon said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Shalom. Wouldn't it be amazing if your community was known? Oh, the Nazarenes? Oh, the Nazarene kids? Oh, they're peacemakers. They're blessed people. They're the people who make peace in our community. This is a picture to me, this video, of the World Series last fall in October, the Little League World Series, where this two teams are playing against each other. And we'll have volume on this. Yes. Okay, go ahead. Christian, this is a Christian family, the batter who was hit. When it came time to show your fruit, he showed it. When the response was needed, it came forth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. As we're raising our generations behind us, we know we don't have to sit here today and talk about all the things that culture's throwing at them. What we want to focus on are what we as the church and the people of God need to be telling them: fervent prayer, biblical learning, compassionate outreach, authentic relationships, and mentoring. Cookies to a neighbor, a $5 bill as they go off to college, a note in the mail, a prayer, a presence, showing up at their graduation open house, being present. We pray. We're going to end this. I want to read this together. Two things here real quick, because I think they might want to come in here for lunch and you guys are hungry. But this is a blessing for your family. And this comes from a Foundry publication for A Child's Journey of Grace devotional book, 365 days, along with this A Journey of Grace. I love this devotion book. We've done it. But in the little corner of each page, there is a blessing. And my husband took over leading the morning devotions. Remember, I was a little bitter he wasn't doing it. When they were in third grade, I decided I would. When they got to junior high, guess who took over every morning? So now my husband leads them in devotions each morning. But this is what it says. Can we read this together? This is our prayer for us and for our children. And just let me show you. Go to the Vogelman family blessing quick. My husband leads a father's group. This is a new ministry he started at our church a couple years ago. It's exploded to multiplying groups, and he challenged them recently, a part of this father's group curriculum, to write a blessing and say this blessing over your family or children, weekly or daily. Again, father's group, another conversation for another time. But that's the blessing that he wrote, and I get to watch him stand over his now eye-to-eye 17-year-old son and bless him before he goes. Is there any doubt in my children that we love the Lord? No. Is there any doubt in our children that we are committed to him fully? No. Do my children still have choices? Yeah. But just like you heard your NYI president say, it does not return void. That's the promise we have in Scripture. All right, so let's read this today. I want you to read it as saying kind of a blessing and an admonition for the people in your life that you are discipling, those generations. Let's go back to the blessing. This is from the Foundry book on discipleship, 365 devotions for kids. It says this: go following the way of the Savior. Oh, wait, let's do this again. I was a first grade teacher. So let's participate. Let's stand, okay? This is our blessing. We're reading it together. I want to hear it loud. Because remember, you got to be vulnerable. You can't be timid. You've got to be authentic. You've got to get in their business and proclaim it. Engage them. All right, here we go. Go following the way of the Savior, walking the truth of the King, and living the life of the friend. May your thoughts, words, and actions reflect the love of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here today. And I'm available for questions this afternoon and a few parent cue packs if you want one.